In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Thursday, January 21st, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The stock market is still hemorrhaging after three bad weeks and another 170-point drop in the Dow yesterday. Crude oil prices dipped again to $27 a barrel, a 13-year low. Morgan Stanley announced the chance of a global recession this year as high as 20% right now. Be assured, though, God is completely in control of it. The pornography revolution is taking over the nation, and the nation's conscience has been seared. That's the assessment of recent Barna studies on the problem. Over 68% of young adult males use porn at least once a week, and 67% believe it to be acceptable behavior. Far more young people believe that if you don't recycle, that's always wrong, versus using pornography. And 57% of pastors have struggled with pornography. 14% of those church leaders are dealing with the problem right now. Christian apologist Josh McDowell told The Worldview the problem has grown significantly worse in the last 10 years, and the church is ill-prepared.
For any pastor who remains silent about pornography, they show complicity with pornography. And right now, the silence of the church speaks far louder than the voice and the images of the pornographers.
Josh McDowell is speaking at a global summit on the issue sponsored by CovenantEyes.com. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Ephesians 5:2. Jerry Falwell Jr. more or less endorsed Donald Trump for president before a crowd of 13,000 at Liberty University. Falwell called Trump a, quote, breath of fresh air, unquote. He told the crowd, Matthew 7:16 tells us that by their fruits you shall know them. And, according to Jerry Falwell Jr., Donald Trump's life has borne fruit. However, Trump told a Christian audience last July that he has never asked God for forgiveness. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin has just announced her endorsement of Donald Trump. Ted Cruz is still a hair ahead of Donald Trump in Iowa, 11 days before the state primary. Daryl Burton served 26 years in prison for a crime he did not commit, but God had other plans for his life when he found Christ in prison. Burton serves as an associate pastor at the Church of the Resurrection in Leawood, Kansas. He told Christian Headlines, I think God used the situation the same way with Joseph when Joseph was thrown in the prison. More public schools caught up in teacher sexual scandals in the state of Louisiana. One school has been hit with four scandals, according to WorldNetDaily.com, including homosexual trysts. Christian parents, beware. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Civil unrest continues in Islamic Pakistan, where 19 people were slaughtered in a terrorist attack at a university. Officials attribute the carnage to the work of the Taliban. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The nanny state in America is gathering more force. The Every Student Succeeds Act, approved by our Republican Congress, will introduce new, quote, full-service community schools, unquote. These schools will promise to oversee every aspect of the student's life, including mental health, nutrition, and even dentistry. Some conservative organizations, like the New American, are referring to them as parent replacement centers. The retiring Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, has called for 24/7 government boarding schools for kids as well, all in line with Plato's utopian society, where, according to the Greek philosopher, no child shall know his parent, and no parent shall know his child. Researchers from the California Institute of Technology may have found a ninth planet beyond the orbit of Pluto. They say it's huge, 5 to 10 times larger than the Earth. The discovery has not yet been confirmed by observation at this point. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the honor of kings to find it out. Proverbs 25:2. A Christian church in Buffalo, New York is experimenting with true religion and undefiled before God. True Bethel Baptist Church sends several trucks through the city during the winter months, distributing food and clothes, as well as heavy coats, gloves, and scarves to the homeless. One of the elders, Cambridge Boyd, told the Worldview their ministry is reaching refugees moving into the area as well.
It was amazing because they're coming to Western New York from Sudan and some of the, you know, African regions and Muslim regions where they don't speak English, they've never seen snow, they don't know anything about snow pants, snow boots, and to see them, to provide them coats and to be able to break down language barriers and still be a blessing to someone was one of the stories that really sticks out to me.
And that's the Worldview in 5 minutes on this Thursday, January 21st, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in Elizabeth. Steve Vaughn also in studio with me today as we take a look at world economies through the eyes of a biblical worldview. We're thankful that the Word of God has something to say about, well, just about everything. The wisdom of God counters the wisdom of men again and again. And we're going to be talking about that on this edition of the Generations broadcast. And today, it looks like we are headed towards something of a world recession. The IMF, as of today, says a global recession is very close. Time magazine virtually agreed on that, and I'm going to get to an article on that just a minute. And here's an article from the UK Express. It will be worse than 2008, warning from global economy as China and oil threaten to destabilize the world. They're thinking this one's going to be worse than 2008. Well, and the reason, of course, is because of debt. But Chinese stock market hit the circuit breakers twice last week for the first time in China's history. Much of the world's been depending upon China as the next emerging economy that will hold up the rest of the world. Pretty large domino, and if this domino stays in place, perhaps the rest of the world will be okay. But the problem, of course, is that China is still a communist government and controls its economy and sets itself up for more vulnerability as well. We say that the more you centralize control, the more you create vulnerability. That, my friends, is a principle that comes from the Tower of Babel. The higher you build your towers, the more vulnerable they are. Just like your little boy who builds his little block tower in the living room. He's got to put that last little block on top. And what happens when that last little block goes up on top? Of course, the whole thing comes crashing down. And that's what happens with our large economies. China's stock market hit the circuit breakers twice last week for an 800-point drop, about a 10% correction for the first of the year. American stock markets saw an even worse drop since December, 12.3% correction as of this morning. That's a 2,200-point drop over just the last couple of weeks. This is the worst start for a year, I think, in the history of the stock market. The Japanese Nikkei also dropped 2,500 points. Time magazine makes the point that job numbers are great. The president of the United States in his State of the Union address was more cheery about the economy than ever, pointing out that we have the best job numbers since the 1990s. But here's Time magazine. Time magazine, not necessarily the most conservative, not Forbes, but Time magazine, front page article came out just a couple of days ago. The hard truth you must accept to understand what's happening in world markets these days, the problems that caused the Great Recession were never really fixed. And here's why. Debt, which is always the root of financial crises and their resulting recessions, didn't go away. Debt did not go away. The problem is since the Great Recession of 2008, the United States federal debt has risen from 76% of the GDP to 103% of the GDP in just the last 7 years. And that, my friends, is the legacy of President Barack Obama. His major accomplishment will always be remembered. He increased the debt-to-GDP ratio from 76% to 103% during a recession recovery. He had the opportunity to recover from the last recession, and he took the opportunity to increase the debt-to-GDP from 76% to 103%. That will be the legacy of President Barack Obama when they write the history books in the year 2060.
Yeah, and just to, you know, bring that back around, if our debt is greater than our GDP, that means that we are in big trouble. You know, basically what happens is that when you have your you take out a piece of paper money and it says Federal Reserve note, that is an IOU back to the Federal Reserve. They're printing up the money. So the thing is if we now pay off our debt, nobody has any money, because it's all back to the Federal Reserve. That comes from a book called Honest Money that I read a while back. And so the debt that we have in the United States right now, if we were to pay it off, would all the money would go to the Federal Reserve. No one would have any money in their pockets or in their savings accounts.
And we want to get back to John Maynard Keynes and Keynesian economics after the break. But first, just a few more stats, friends. What's important, what you need to understand, is the three largest economies in the world are America, China, and Japan. So you got to ask the question, what's happening with these three economies? The entire world economy effectively hinge off of Japan, America, and China. Well, China's federal government debt has gone from 30% to 64% of the GDP in the last 10 years. And that 64% is a little hazy. Nobody really knows if China is telling the truth. And here's one more point about good economies. If you read the book of Proverbs, which, by the way, is the book of wisdom that we need to teach our children and our grandchildren if somehow we're going to reconstruct human civilizations in the years to come. But honesty is absolutely essential if markets are going to survive, something that the Chinese do not understand yet. And for that reason, because they have not read the book of Proverbs and they don't conform themselves to the book of Proverbs, these economies will come crashing down. So China's federal government debt has gone from 30% to 64% of the GDP in just the last 10 years. Meanwhile, their business personal debt has gone from 130% to 282% of the GDP just since the year 2000. Again, over double. The U.S. corporate and household debt has gone up to 332% of the GDP, pretty much flatlined over the last 2 to 3 years. But federal debt, as I mentioned, has burgeoned from 50% of the GDP to 101% of the GDP in 10 years, and from 76 to 103 in just the last 7 years. Japan's debt to GDP, even worse. It's gone from 90% to 242% just since 1995. And friends, you need to understand, these are the largest economies in the world. Japan has tripled its government debt to GDP ratio in just the last 10 years. U.S. has doubled its government debt to GDP ratio. China has doubled its government debt to GDP ratio. And China has doubled its corporate debt to GDP ratio over the last 10 years. And here's what the Word of God has to say about that. The debtor is servant to the lender. Now, here's the big question everybody's asking. Does God know what he's talking about when he wrote that in the book of Proverbs, to which we say, yes, 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 he knows what he's talking about. Yeah, I realize almost everybody in the world will doubt it. But at some point, the gods of the copybook headings with terror and slaughter return. At some point, the entire world is going to discover that those proverbs on those old copybooks of the 19th century that children were reading were really the truths that will, in the end, win out, and the gods of the marketplace that wing in and tell us that pigs have wings and other beautiful things will be proven to be wrong. And okay, it may take about 100 years to pull this off. We may have to build up these large dominoes to a very, 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 very high, centralized, powerful state of affairs. But at some point, those dominoes are going to come down. Here's Deuteronomy 28:43. The stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. These are the curses
given to a nation that refuses to follow God. He shall lend to you, and you shall lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed because you did not listen to the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. All right, now, question. Does God know what he's talking about when he defines debts as a curse? And I'm going to say, yes, he does. And we're going to talk about John Maynard Keynes, who disagreed with God, in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Steve Vaughn also with me.
Have you ever found yourself asking questions like, what am I supposed to do with my life? How do I know what God's will is for me? How will I find good opportunities and be successful in life? And what is success anyway? My name is Daniel Craig. I'm a homeschool graduate, and I've asked all those same questions myself. As I was transitioning into life beyond homeschooling, I didn't fully understand God's calling on my life or how to prepare for that calling. I wasn't opposed to going to college, but I knew I also needed godly mentorship and real-life application to prepare for life ahead. And that's why I helped create the Kickstart program, an in-depth training program designed to help other students launch into life now with clear vision through one-on-one mentoring relationships and real-life application. With a clear, step-by-step approach, the 29 Kickstart video training sessions and companion guide walks students through the process of first defining vision and goals for their lives, then finding and engaging with mentors in their community who can help them move toward those goals. So if you're not sure how to prepare for life, you can either spend $72,000 on a college education, or you can first spend $129 on a program which provides cutting-edge guidance through a proven process of life preparation that works. Now, if that sounds like a deal to you, I encourage you, get Kickstart today at generations.org.
And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today as we talk about what's happening in the world markets. And it's interesting, almost all of these major pundits are nervous. They're not completely convinced that John Maynard Keynes has it right. And in the back of their mind, they're thinking that maybe God was right when he said, the debtor is servant to the lender. Here's Time Magazine, the hard truth you must accept to understand what is happening in the world markets these days is that the problems caused in the Great Recession were never really fixed. Debt, which is always the root of financial crises and their resulting recessions, didn't go away. Time Magazine admitting that maybe God had it right in the book of Proverbs, the debtor is servant to the lender. Now, I understand that we don't teach the book of Proverbs in Economics 101. We don't teach the book of Proverbs in American high schools anymore. We don't teach the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 1:7, in most of our home schools these days. But I'm here to tell you that God has it right. That's why we did a Bible study guide series on the book of Proverbs, a 3-volume series, 600 pages, to teach our children the very basic principles of life. If you miss this in your children's education, you have given your children a most dysfunctional education. Be sure to give your kids the book of Proverbs at the very minimum. All right, the root issue here for the modern worlds is John Maynard Keynes. And I did some research on John Maynard Keynes and Keynesian economics, and I'd like to explain it to you very simply. Now, this from online. This is Wikipedia simply stated. Okay, you can get it in different forms, but this is an easy form to explain John Maynard Keynes' economic theories. And here it goes. John Maynard Keynes said, when the economy is bad, people want to save their money. That is, they do not spend their money on things they want. As a result, there is less economic activity. Cain said the government should spend more money when people do not have work. The government can borrow money and give people jobs. Then people can spend money again and buy things. This helps other people find work. That's Cain's theory. All based in debt. If governments would just go into debt, they can create jobs out of nothing. And this is what has happened since the last Great Recession. This is why the President of the United States is euphoric about the job market and the economy, because the economy, the job market is doing very, very well. But the cost was increasing the debt to GDP ratio from 70% to 103% since 2008. That's been the cost. But it's exactly what John Maynard Keynes told him to do. He was an obedient servant to John Maynard Keynes, as is Japan. Japan has become increasingly Keynesian, and China as well. When a big recession happened in 2007, Keynesian economics became more popular. Leaders around the world, including President Barack Obama, created stimulus packages which would allow their governments to spend a lot of money to create jobs. All right, that's Keynesian economics, simply stated. I don't think anybody listening with more than a high school education would have a hard time understanding Keynesian economics put that way.
Depending on where you got your high school education.
Well, maybe yeah. So, but it's pretty simple. Keynes says the government has got to borrow more money and spend more money in order that people get more jobs, in order that people would spend more money, make more money, and spend more money. And that's the cycle he wants to put into play. Well, that's exactly what has happened in world markets. Japan has done it. America has done it. And now China as well. They've increased their debt to GDP ratios to unbelievable limits, probably to the point where the world has never, ever seen ever before this level of debt amongst the largest economies in the world. I don't believe there's ever been a time in which governments have experimented with debt as they have over the last 6 or 7 years since the last recession. This is extraordinary, my friends. Now, here's what you need to understand. John Maynard Keynes was a homosexual. And John Maynard Keynes was asked at one point, will these policies yield good fruit in the long run? You keep spending into debt and spending into debt, coming out of each successive recession in order to maintain something of a job market, and you drive those debt to GDP ratios higher and higher and higher. What's going to happen, John, in the long run? And John Maynard Keynes' response was infamous. To this day, he said, in the long run, we're all dead. In other words, we're not having grandchildren, and we don't care about our grandchildren because we're homosexuals, and we're not going to reproduce. We don't want to reproduce. We want to live for pleasure, for ourselves, for the moment, and forget about what happens with our children and grandchildren. That, my friends, is an existentialistic, myopic approach to life. We live our lives for ourselves in the short run, and the long run can, quote unquote, go to hell. That, my friends, is John Maynard Keynes. That's his philosophy in a nutshell. There's a new biography that just came out on John Maynard Keynes, and you can check it out online, my friends. It's there. And this is an expose, perhaps the first expose since he passed away some 60, 70 years ago. And I think it's instructive because, friends, everybody needs to understand this is the grandfather of the modern economies. And this biography written by Richard Davenport Hines tells a great deal more about his habits, specifically his sexual habits. The UK Independent, just a couple of months ago, covered John Maynard Keynes' new biography by Richard Davenport Hines. And here is a quote from that article in the UK Independent. Basically, Keynes collected and cataloged his sexual activities as obsessively as other men did postage stamps. He kept detailed records of encounters with names or initials of partners allocated by year from 1901. Keynes seems successively, predominantly homosexual. He was promiscuous. And in Edwardian times, as now, there was plenty of cruising if you wanted it. Keynes did. He went feasting with the Panthers in railway carriages, Cambridge colleges, and across London. He had 65 encounters in 1909, 26 in 1910, and 39 in 1911. John Maynard Keynes, the spiritual father of the modern economies, China, Japan, and the United States. And friends, this his legacy. It will be interesting to know that a homosexual ruined the world. Somebody will indeed write the story about this in the year 2060 or 2070, no doubt. But this will be the great expose of how the world economies came down, all because of a homosexual who was promiscuous, who was perhaps one of the most wicked, flagrantly licentious men who has lived in the modern world. And he becomes the grandfather of the modern economies, bringing them all down. It makes a lot of sense. Sexual nihilism, of course, will produce sexual burnout, and that must be tied to economic burnout and epistemological burnout as well, when societies lose the will to live. And it's all summarized in the Proverbs. All those who hate me, all those who hate wisdom, love death. And this is precisely the legacy that John Maynard Keynes left us.
And the big thing here is that he cared only about himself. You know, when asked, you know, what about the long run? I don't care. Yeah. As long as I'm okay today, I could care less about my kids, my grandkids, anybody else. And so he did not care about what's going on today at all.
Friends, is this your grandfather? Is this the person you follow? I wrote a book called Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, in which I detail the ideas, the existentialism of John Paul Sartre and John Maynard Keynes. I detail the men who destroyed the Christian West in terms of their epistemology, first and foremost, their philosophy, which works its way out into economics and sexuality, and of course the sexual revolution of the 1960s and 1970s, very much spawned by John Paul Sartre, who is the father of modern day existentialism, and of course John Maynard Keynes as well. Get my book Apostate, the expose on these great men who destroyed the Christian West, the men responsible for the decline and the fall of Western civilization. Friends, you need to read the story and you need to tell the story to your children and grandchildren, because when this civilization falls, as it is coming crashing down right now, I think we need to know the story. We need to know the men, the lives of the men who destroyed the Christian West, and John Maynard Keynes will be out there in the front leading the pack. Now, the question again for all of us is, do we support his worldview, his view of debt, his existentialism, his living the life for today, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die? Remember, philosophies ultimately drive life. The ultimate beliefs that people have towards the meaning of life, the purpose for life, ethics, whether or not man is in control of his own ethics, or whether God is the source of ethics, and whether we need to bow the knee to Jesus Christ and serve him and receive his salvation and then walk in his ways. Is that the way to look at life? Or when you wake up on Monday morning, are you saying, I'm living my life for myself? I'm here to make some money in order to have a lot of pleasure, in order to enjoy the weekend for myself, and I could really care less about the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, Matthew 16:25 says, for whoever should save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? What shall a man give in return for his soul? Friends, that's radical. So my recommendation is that it's time to get off the Keynesian train. It's time to give up your life for Jesus Christ. Don't worship money. Don't live for pleasure. Don't live for money. Don't live life in the short term. Live life for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Live life for eternity. Give up your life today that you might gain eternity tomorrow. Friends, that's the message that Jesus gives us, radically different than that which is espoused by John Maynard Keynes and gladly received by billions and billions of people around the globe.
Yeah, and the key for us as children of God is that he tells us that perfect love casts out fear. So we need not fear if we belong to God. What we need to do is consider the birds of the air, consider the flowers. Just as, you know, God takes care of them, he will take care of his kids. But we need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all of these other things will be added to you. What you eat, what you drink, what you wear, where you stay, all of that is for his children. If you're going to follow Cain's, then you follow Cain's and you die. But if you follow Christ, then he takes care of his kids.
Now that's the economic theory to take to the bank with you.
Amen.
Jesus' economic theory in Matthew 6 can't get anything better than that. And go back to Matthew 6. Remember that God takes care of our needs. He's the ultimate cause, the ultimate source of all good gifts. It's for us to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, and all these things will be added unto us. So friends, get off the Keynesian train. Don't go into debt for expensive college educations and for an expensive home where you can live in more square feet today than you really need. Friends, live the simple life. Save an inheritance for your children's children. And here's one more thing. Go home and worship God. Do family worship every day. Remember discussing this issue with an economist who had written a book on honest money and how the present Keynesian system was no doubt going to fall and create a worldwide depression, et cetera, et cetera. I asked him, well, then what do we do? He said, here's what you do. Go home and do family worship. Teach your children the book of Matthew. Teach your children the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms. And that's, my friends, why we've done the family Bible study guides. I realize it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it has a lot to do with seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you disciple your children as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down, that's the best way to prepare for the great worldwide depression that no doubt is going to come. Friends, give your children the word of God as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. The family Bible study guides on the book of Proverbs, on the book of Matthew, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.